Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden, here on a wonderful, beautiful day. Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's it. We're the outlaws. Remember, we're going to be the outlaws. We're the outlaw grassroots. Everyone's an outlaw. Anyone who's anyone is an outlaw these days. But that was the show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness Advanced Acupuncture outlaw. And Chinese Medicine. They only treat outlaws. You get an outlaw discount there. Some I'm not a big MMA fighter kind of person, but Trump was at a thing, and some snooty reporter was asking the winner about something, and he goes, you know, Trump, he's like, he gets models, he's got beautiful wife, he's an outlaw. He's like, I'm jealous of the guy. So hey, momentarily we're going to have Tom Tancredo on. Ballots are being mailed today. In fact, I got an email
that
binder is on the way. So we thought we would have former Congressman Tom Tancredo join us today to kind of give us his voter guide, some of the things he sees shaping up in the primary.
On with us now. Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys. Yeah. I'm glad you didn't say that you were having me on to pick my brains, because no. I keep telling everybody it's slim pickings.
Well, that's the same trouble we all have. But that being that this is sort of broadcasting in its own way, that doesn't matter, right?
Free from logic.
Free from logic or things. So,
Good. Okay.
You know, first, let me, you know, let me get you on the presidential primary.
Which way are you going there?
Yeah, no. But I mean, ABC had a poll that showed Trump is up slightly. It didn't make any difference. What do you make of that? Is it going to make a difference, do you think? Is it going to help Trump, hurt Trump? Is Trump going to go to jail? I kind of think he is. I think they'll put him in prison. What do you make of that whole debacle?
Well, I don't see how they can possibly actually put him in prison. And I only say that simply because I think before anything like that can occur, before they actually even have a sentencing hearing, you know, there's going to be an appeal that will be rushed through the highest courts, and I think it would all be even if you were just staying decision of what to do with him, that I think would take away any possibility of him actually going to prison. I don't think that's going to happen. But
okay,
the hell, I do know that they would love to see that, I think. What I also think might they would love to do, though, and seems to me more probable, is to put him on probation for a long, because then they've got this little hook on him all the time, you know.
Gone
for ages.
Yeah, perfect.
That's a good point. Yeah. You're right, and they could just
check your travel, get your travel approved. No.
All these things that, you know, would all be violations. Certainly, at some, it'd be almost impossible for him to not violate it. But then could start the whole process over. Oh God, it would be such a mess. But that's what I think they would like
to do.
You
know, I hadn't even thought of that, Tom. That's actually pretty clever, right? He goes to jail or prison. He just becomes a martyr and he's in prison awaiting the appeal. But if you let him out, then you could put on all kinds of probation conditions. And you can just keep yanking his chain and yanking him back to court and having hearings on all of that and hope that that makes him look bad. Hopefully they aren't listening, because maybe I'm sure they thought of that.
Yeah, that's true. Now, on the other side of that is that if they appeal it, I mean, they certainly will appeal it. And if the appeal is successful, I think that would, you know, I, again, I'm not an attorney here, but I think that would then say, okay, then the probation thing is all kaput too, because based on a decision that was unconstitutional. I mean, there's so many aspects of this, so many twists, turns, and could have, maybe should have. But you have to think about them doing the most diabolical thing they can possibly imagine.
Well, now, let me ask you about that.
Seems that way.
Would you have a man? I mean, way back when this started, I was saying, you know what? They're going to convict him and they're going to put him in prison. But it is bizarre to think that you would even think that. I mean, back, you know, in the way back machine 6 years ago, would you have even predicted the Democrats would be this evil? Although you having dealt with them directly in D.C.
And the Republicans.
And the Republicans. Are you like, no, I'm not surprised by this at all,
right,
Julie?
No, I'm not surprised. No, I mean, I've been saying really and truly for years, they will do anything. The acquisition of power, you know, Lord Acton, you know, God bless him. And, you know, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And it has corrupted so many in Washington, both sides, but certainly the Democrats.
Has it ever corrupted you?
Mastered it.
Has it ever corrupted you?
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. you know, I'm still, my wife keeps saying, where's the check from the Graft Committee?
Yeah.
How can we never get this?
Yeah. You was like, you could have used a little bit more corruption.
I must admit the few times I've been had, you know, what I would consider real power or whatever I said had to be done, it was a little corrupting.
He keeps trying it here at home and it doesn't.
Let me tell you.
Rev has to take his AirPods out and say, "What, Dad? Huh?"
Close as I can get to actually relating to that possibility. You know, people always say, "What do you miss Congress?" And I can honestly say, from the bottom of my heart, I do not miss it. I have not missed it 1 minute from the time I left, but I miss one aspect of it, and this is as close as I can get to this power issue, and so. They say, well, what is the thing you miss? I say, I always miss staff because they treated you like a king, you know? And now I keep missing appointments and going to the wrong place and doing all these crazy things that you didn't do when you had staff. And I'll say to my wife, wait, why didn't you remind me of this? And she goes, I'm not your damn staff.
That's right.
I've heard that before from somebody.
Yeah, I mentioned that too. Yeah. It's like, I'm not your minion. You may think I am, but I don't think I am.
But I'm still.
I know, we could. And everyone could use staff. Yes. Well, let me ask you about.
Staff. It was wonderful. I mean, you can't imagine how spoiled. I mean, listen, this is a great story.
Okay.
And I believe it's true because I actually heard him say it himself. But Senator from Wyoming, old guy. I mean, he's not there anymore.
Cheney?
Oh my God. And he was so really a funny guy. I'll think of it in a second, but Simpson, Senator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was talking, and I believe this could be true. Huh. He retired after 25, 50 years. I don't know, however long he was in there. And he and his wife come back. They have to fly into DIA because there are no planes in this, you know, direct flight into Cheyenne. So they're waiting at the curb there with their luggage, standing there waiting for their ride. And they're waiting and they're waiting. And his wife turns to him and says, hey, you know, they're not coming. No one's coming to get us. And he says to her, what do we do?
There's no staff.
So funny. And I believe it could be. I mean, honest to God, you go, well, what do we do now? How do you get a ride here?
I guess
we call it a cab to go to Casper. I mean, so anyway, it can happen to you. It is a very intoxicating in that respect. So that's an aspect of power, I suppose, that I do miss. Excuse me.
What about the endorsements? Yeah, who are you
on the congressional level? Who you're going for in
Colorado?
Well, I'm supporting Ron Hanks in the.
Now, were you always supporting Ron, or did you support the other guy?
I was supporting this guy Varela, I think, because of a good friend of mine who told me he was a great guy and served with him on.
Oh.
Yeah, and I then decided that it was not good to listen to my old friend again.
No, whoever that is, never listen to him again. Holy
right.
shit.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Burrell is just a total con artist. I mean,
well, and well, I'm glad you clarified that because actually, there'd been some stuff because I know you endorsed Ron Hanks, as do we.
Yeah.
And somebody was saying, oh, and so just to clarify, so originally on the advice of an old friend whose advice you won't take anymore, you said, okay, I'll support Varela. And then you're like, wait, no, bad idea. I now support Ron Hanks. Is that basically it?
That is exactly right. You got it. And I got, you know, Sharona,
Bishop.
Right.
Yeah, she called and we had a long talk about Hanks and then he called and we had a long talk and all that stuff. And, it's fine. So I did. And so that's that. And the only other one that I guess I'd say is controversial is Ms. Babbitt in the fourth.
Right.
And I would, I was supporting in that one, too, before she got in.
Right.
I was supporting Ted Hopkins. And again, an old friend, and I knew him for 100 years. And I thought, Ted Hopkins. He was running, believe it or not. And
at one point, there were like 100 people running. Yeah,
he was,
Right. Yeah, and again, an old friend. I've known for many, many years. Supported him in many races, and I thought he'd be good. So he gets beat. Right, he drops out. And okay, fine, drop out. But you don't have to then really screw the pooch, as far as I'm concerned, he did.
What did he do?
Then support Sonnenberg,
Oh, God, that is screwing the pooch.
Oh, wow, what the hell? And I called him and I said, what are you doing? And he goes, well, it's a long story, and I'll call you back.
Oh, Ted Harvey. We're talking about Ted Harvey?
I'm sorry. I said Ted Hopkins, didn't I? That's the kid I went to college with. Oh, my God. Yes.
Okay, I was saying, I think I knew most of the candidates, and boy, he was really deep in the thing.
Yeah, no, we actually, Tom, we were with you on that before. Well, I think just for the listeners, remember way back when, it was just a few months ago, everything got rearranged when Ken Buck dropped out and then Lauren Boebert switched and everything went like this. Yeah. So we had initially said, we like Ted Harvey too. And then all of a sudden there's a special election. So, so he said.
And we did the same thing. It came to the sixth round or seventh round.
Like, why are you so.
And he said, I'm going to back something. You didn't what? I mean, I would destroy your political. I don't know if you got any left, but you don't have any left after that move.
No, that's right. He said something like, it's a long explanation. I said, it's going to be longer than your career, right? Because after doing something, here I'm saying my own, and he has been a friend for years. Why did I call him Ted Hopkins? Well, I know why. I said.
It was close. Anyway. Well, you had the initials right. You had the initials right.
TH. Yeah. Well, that's. Did he say that it's just one of those brain freezes or?
He offered me money.
Never heard from him again.
Never came back. He just wants everybody to forget it. Well, what do you think in terms of?
How about Williams versus Hurd?
Hey, no, Jeff Crank.
Crank.
Well, in CD5, yeah, Williams is running to take, we support, obviously, Dave Williams to support, take over Doug Lamport's place. Do you think?
Oh, God.
Yes. Do you think?
I'm so glad. I mean, many years we have waited for that spot to open and to be put somebody in it who actually would do something besides put his card in the little thing to vote, which a monkey could do. And that's about what we had there for all those years.
Well, yeah. If Hurd gets in there, you'll have another monkey.
Frank.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree. And so I think, don't you think that Dave will be pretty much of a shoe-in?
No, there's no shoe-in. They've already put over $1 million in buys in the last week.
Americans for Prosperity are backing Jeff Crank in that.
God.
So they're at their point. Well, and that
might
was,
have known.
What do you want to?
I might have known.
What do you make of? So you've got the Americans for Prosperity supporting Gabe Evans in CD8, Jeff Crank in CD5, and Jeff Hurd in CD3. And they're going to pour bazillions of dollars, and they already are, into it. I mean, we get mailers every other day for Gabe Evans, for from Americans for Prosperity. Do you think, though, that the mood of the country is a little bit different, that voters are more cynical now? And where before people would say, oh, Americans for Prosperity, they're great, people are like, wait a minute, are they great? I mean, to me, that's what I think. I'm just hoping that people are more cynical and they have their eyes open more. And where before they would have been conned by slick mailers and stuff, maybe not anymore. But
I'm not sure.
What do you think,
slick
Tom?
Mailers don't con them again. If you've been to very many Republican meetings, especially in these outlying areas, slick mailers are pretty good.
I don't know. What do you think, Tom? You could be.
Well, I will say that at least I think in Dave Williams' case, it's harder to demonize a person that you have known a lot about, who's been around for a long time, unless, of course, you hated him from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's easy to do it. But generally speaking, the biggest problem you have in running against a lot of money is when you are essentially an unknown, because then they create the picture for you. You don't, and probably you don't have the money to stop it. And so that's when it's the most devastating. It seems to me that that's where it's been for a long time. But when you know the person, and you still, you know, it's like Trump, really.
Right.
What more can they possibly say about him in terms of his personality, his sexual proclivities, or whatever?
Yeah, convicted felon, all right.
Yeah, I mean, but I still say that it's based on things that most people know him.
Right.
And so it's harder, it's very difficult, I think, to construct this picture of him as a demon. I mean, again, unless you already believe that to begin with.
Right.
But if you're if you're on his side, it works the same way. If you believe in him, none of these things matter, and I don't think they will. And I think and I hope it's the same with Dave, because he has been around a long time. He's in the state legislature. He was, and then chairman. So unless you really hated him to begin with, I don't think those mailers would do the trick.
We had a good friend in Ted Trumpa, who did the blueprint for Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Democrat strategist.
And he said,
I know.
Yeah.
He said, you know, because you Republicans are so easy. He said, we would just go out and you know, accuse you of anything. I mean, and if we could find something, and he says, you know, 90% of the time you can find something or exaggerate it or do what else. And in that 10% of the time, you have to be imaginative. But he said, you know, but Republicans go, oh, no, he's not a moral human being. I must vote for the Democrat. And then they go, you know, we'd run these, you know, out of the penitentiary for rape guys. Oh, no, the Republican is not pure.
Right. Well, remember what happened to Scott McGinnis?
Oh, yeah, that was great. I'll never
forget.
That was great. What'd you do? You know, somebody hired you to write a
script. Dan May?
Yes.
That was not a happy chapter.
Oh, my God. Well, of course, what did they do? You have to listen. You got to give them credit. Yeah, they spent money very wisely in that case, and I'm sure it happens over and over again.
Yes.
What they did was, hire a bunch of college kids to then go up to his alma mater in Grand Junction and dig through everything they could possibly find. And now, the stupid thing that McGinnis did is he responded to the offer that is made to all of us
in Congress
who leave, and that is send us your papers to your school, and then we'll archive them for you. And they want to do it because the government pays them.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
A horrendous amount of money. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Papers. Yeah. So. So, naturally, well, I mean, so he said, oh, God, yeah, people want to see my papers, sure. And he sends them up to Mesa. So I told my staff when they got this thing, they came in and said, you want to send your papers to Greeley? I said, all I want to hear in this office for the last 2 weeks of my administration here is the sound of shredders.
Yes.
Because there is nothing that I have, there is nobody out there that is thinking, gee, we like Tom so much, we just want to see his papers and revel in them, whatever the hell. No. It would only be people who were I knew he's going to do this or that and the other. So what did they do? They found that he had taken, what was it, 500,000? 300,000?
No, it wasn't that much.
Huge amount of money.
But it was a lot, yeah.
Oh, it was over. It was a lot. From this family whose son was running for Secretary of State or Treasury.
Was that J.J. Ament?
No.
It was like a Lebanese.
Yeah.
Or Middle Eastern. Yeah.
Right.
And they wanted Scott to support this guy, this kid, or their son for this. Well, so they give him all this money and they call it for writing something called Musings on Water.
Doesn't that sound highly scientific?
Which does Scott do? But he hires, what is it, Raleigh Fingers? Is that guy?
Yeah, Raleigh Fingers is a doctor.
Yeah,
he hires him and gives him $500 to write this stuff. And turns it in.
And so Raleigh just plagiarizes it for $500. I mean, you know.
You're going to get.
Sure, absolutely. And they get him on the TV going, do you know that he got 500? I forgot how much. It was a lot. It was well over 100,000. It was like 300,000 or 500,000. Yeah, a lot of money. Do you realize he got $500,000 or whatever it was for this? And they gave you 500. He goes, I don't know why Scott would do this to me. God. Not only did he get screwed by giving, taking all this money for something he never did, never wrote, but then he even gets the guy who he gave the money to be the most sympathetic character you ever saw, who had been taken advantage of by this guy. Oh, God. Well, anyway.
That was one of those bad disasters. No, you're right.
I guess, you know, they say about politicians.
It's the smart thing they do.
Oh, yeah.
They say honest politicians will take your money and still screw you. And obviously, that's what Scott McGinnis thought. I'll take all your $500,000, and then when your son wants an endorsement, I'll screw him.
Well, you know, and Tom, to your point, though, really, then heading into this, though,
what are they going to say? We were coerced into giving him this money, or we tried to bribe him for this? Yeah, you're kind of stuck. It's like I went down to the border, I remember, one time, and I went many times, and one time I was there, and it was when we still had customs. It had not been rolled into Homeland Security or anything. And so we had this customs guy, I remember, and they were arresting him. And I saw it happening, taking him out of the booth and everything, you know, and I said, what's going on? Is on the take, and I said, well, can I listen to this? This is interesting. Oh yeah. So what had happened is the guy made about $30,000 a year, you know, as a border not a border guard, but an inspector and customs inspector. And so the cartels offered him something like, you know, I don't know, $50,000. It was more than his salary, his annual salary. I remember that. And of course, all he had to do was turn the other way, just turn his head. And he did. And it was very alluring, you know, it was very tempting.
No.
So then, of course, the next load that comes through, they tell him they'd give him $500. And he goes, what do you mean? You know, there's $30,000 or $40,000. And they said, this is what it is. And if you bitch about this, it's going to be nothing. You have to turn your innocence for nothing.
Whoa, and today, course, they wouldn't have to do anything. They have to, you know, so.
That's
right. Yeah, that's exactly right. But it was going to be nothing, because what was he going to do? Complain about it?
Right. That's right. What are you going to do if Scott Guinness screws you over? Nothing. You're going to. Well, but.
You're going to the Denver Post.
But, you know, your point is well taken in that the attack ads and the spending the money on attack ads and doing all the research for attack ads, it is mostly effective when the other person, when the person you're attacking isn't well known. So you've got, you know, Lauren Boebert. I mean, you know, they attack her with the same thing.
She's white trash, but she's our white trash.
I mean, yeah, so we know everything there's no about. Exactly. You know, Ron Hanks is pretty well known. Dave Williams is pretty well known. You're right. There isn't a whole lot for them to dig up. So hopefully maybe you're right then, the amount of money that they spend.
Well, that doesn't, you know, the eighth.
Well, yeah, Janet Joshi. Well, I mean, but he's in his own way. But he's a nice guy. There's not very much they can trash Janet Joshi.
Are you kidding me?
Well, you're right. They don't. They just.
They already have. Scott McNulty. All they would do is go to get Scott McNulty.
Frank McNulty.
Frank McNulty, the king of.
Yeah, I don't know a thing about that. I don't know a thing about that, Ray.
We're in CD8, so we like Janet Joshi. Gabe Evans is backed by Americans for Prosperity, so that kind of
thing. He makes a good candidate. He's good looking, and he's bright, and he's articulate. And you know, he doesn't have a soul, so it's going to work out.
I think he has a soul. But he's backed by Americans for Prosperity. Well, thanks, Tom. You know, we'll let you go here. It's going to be interesting.
I want to check on Tom on going back to Scott Mays and the whole
Dan Mays.
You just did that to make me feel better.
But in talking to Peter,
I do.
And talking to Peter is always a fount of disinformation. But Peter Boyles. he would say that there was a time when you were about to enter the governor's race. McGinnis was already in there, and you know, who knows if Mays is in there. And they came to you and said, look, come on, Tom, we've got to be a unified party here. Everybody's got to work for the common good. Just don't go in there and we'll be fine. And so you go, okay, you know, I want to be a team player. And so sure, I'll not enter. And then all of a sudden, McManus blows up, and all of a sudden you go, great, I'm ready to come in. They go, oh, it's too late. We got Dan Mays here. Is that any resemblance to truth?
It's mostly accurate. The what happened was I was fine with Scott. I didn't know any of this other stuff, by the way, and I served with him. Nice enough guy. Conservative-ish.
Yeah.
So I was fine. I started walked precincts. I did speeches for him. But that's when he had already been. I mean, the two of them were running for the nomination and into the convention. And so I knew about this. I mean, I had talked to this guy, Dan Mays. I remember him coming to me and asking for support. And after a while, we sat there and talked. And I kept saying, why are you running? What is the? And you could tell there was nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, you just figured you could make a buck.
Finally, I said, well, that's right. I mean, he wouldn't say it like that, but that's exactly what it was, because there was simply no principle involved. I guarantee you there wasn't a thing that I brought up, including immigration, nothing that said, oh, yeah, that's it. That's why I'm running. I'm going to do this. No, he couldn't really articulate anything. So finally, I remember telling him, look, you know, usually when I end these discussions, I always say, well, good luck. But I said, I really can't wish you good luck. I just don't think you are anything ready to go here. And so they're both running. So I agreed to. Now, I can't remember anyone in the party coming to me and saying anything.
Well, how about the name Dick Wadhams? Do you remember the name Dick Wadhams?
Dick Wadhams. I do, but he knows better than to come to me and ask for anything.
But back then.
Oh, God, yes, we were. Oh, my goodness, yes. And so I'm just supporting McGinnis on my own because this other guy is so good. And so I remember we took, who was it with me? We wrote this long sort of manifesto, and we were going to make Scott sign it. And it was all these things he's going to promise to do if he, you know, he would get our support. And we were probably doing it anyway. So I remember walking over to his, he had this beautiful townhouse thing down on Larimer.
I mean, I remember.
And so we went and we sit down and we said, "Hi, Scott, we got this thing here. It's kind of lengthy, but I want you to read it over and sign it." He goes, "Give me a pen." He didn't read anything. You know, I didn't get three sentences. Oh, yeah, I'll do it. Sure.
But, I'll sign it. We'll sign it.
It was just about as bad. It wasn't too excited. And so then I was supporting him. And as I said, I went out and made speeches for him. I did all kinds of stuff. Then this other thing broke. And I thought, what are we going to do now? This is disgusting. We have no candidate at all.
Right.
Because he can't overcome this, I don't think. And the other guy, oh, my God. And so I said, well, what could I do? It was past the time I could do anything in the Republican Party. They didn't say, no, you can't. I just couldn't do it because it was, you know, that we already had the convention, the nomination that's been made. And I couldn't get, it was too late for me to get in, except as an independent. Well, if you had to do this long, you know, you had petitions and all that stuff, and I didn't have any money. But what we did have was the Constitution Party, which was already a ballot. It was on the ballot. You know, it had ballot access.
But here's why I hear Peter's story. So then, and this is before Peter loved, well, he's had this love-hate relationship with Wadhams for a long time, and he was in one of his hate relationships with him at this point. And he blamed Wadhams for not being a chair. He said, somebody should, what did Dan Mays want? Did Dan Mays really want to be governor? No, Dan wanted a little money, right? And of course, you can't pay him off directly. But you could say
his wife, which is exactly what happened.
I mean, they could have said, "Hey, would you like to be on the board of Mesa College?" Or why didn't Dick Wadhams be like a real chair and get, and then there'd be a vacancy, and they could have appointed you. He blames Wadhams. I couldn't do that. I mean, you lie, you cheat, you steal, you do anything to anybody's child. We know that. We've seen you do it.
Well, you know, that may be, I do not know about that. I don't know if he's, you know, I don't know what that was. But I do know that even if he had taken the job, they would never have appointed me to anything.
Well, they could arrange that too. He could have crooked that too. I remember Peter was screaming at Wadhams when I was in the studio. Aren't you a chair? What the hell you think you are? You think Dick Daley is people or Lyndon Johnson's people? I can't do that.
Hopefully it will not be as confusing. Tom, hey, listen, we have to let you go here. The comments are like, Tom is always
great. They want to know, do you support Lauren Boebert?
I did. Yeah, I say. I did.
Yeah, I did.
They love you. They say you're a national treasure. Everybody loves you always. So tell me, listen.
Who are these people? Who are these people?
They're supporters. Thank you for your time as always today. Have a great time.
Yeah, thank you very much, you guys.
All right, thank you. All right. Okay, even Thomas like always loves it when Tom is on with us. He is funny. His stories are amazing too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he does, before we get into other stuff, that is a good point that you know, the money is largely mostly effective when you're trying to paint a picture of the other guy being bad. And if the guy you're trying to paint is bad is pretty well known, then it might be harder.
It depends.
It depends. So anyway, but
a million bucks is always good to spend.
I mean. Right. But I think, yeah. So So for the people are asking, he endorses Ron Hanks. He endorses
Dave Williams,
Lauren Boebert. And he said he didn't really know very much about CD8. So speaking though of like why we need to get good Republicans in there, I don't know if you guys are paying attention. And Thomas, I'm going to play the sound bites out of order just to give you a heads up.
Just to confuse you.
So Fauci is being grilled by Congress today. I mean, they're not going to do anything about it, but at least they're kind of sort of grilling him. But how does it start out? The chair of the committee that is grilling Anthony Fauci about the whole coronavirus COVID stuff, a representative, Brad Wentstrup, I'm not sure where he's from, but he was a chair, starts out by by thanking Fauci for his years of service and his leadership.
20 million people he killed with his COVID crap.
So thanking him for his years of service, thanking him for his leadership, and condemning anybody or condemning any threats that have been made against Fauci. Oh, it's like, I'm sorry, with Republicans like that in charge of the committee, what the frick? You know what I'm saying? At least we had Marjorie Taylor Greene in there who was like hammering him. So, Thomas, this is the one out of order. If we could play the MTG soundbite, please.
But you also told the American people they had to distance by 6 feet. They had to wear masks. But let's also talk a little bit further about the type of science that you represent. NIH scientists made $710 million in royalties from drug makers, a fact that's been hidden. Let's talk about the fact about, is it right for scientists and doctors getting paid by the American people, government taxpayer paychecks, to get patents where they're paid millions and hundreds of millions of dollars in royalty fees, especially when the NIH and these government agencies, most powerful agencies in our country, are recommending medical suggestions and advice and making up guidelines like 6 feet distancing and masking of children? Do you think that's appropriate? Do the American people deserve to be abused like that, Mr. Fauci? Because you're not doctor, you're Mr. Fauci in my few minutes. No, I don't need your answer. I want to talk about this right here.
Mr. Chairman, I reclaim my time.
Mr. Chairman, of order.
Just in terms of the rules of decorum, are we allowed to deny that a doctor is a doctor just because we don't want him to be a doctor?
Yes, because in my time, that man does not deserve to have a license. As a matter of fact, it should be revoked and he belongs in prison.
Ventilate and suspend.
I like it. He belongs. Now that is how they should be treating Dr. Fauci. They shouldn't be saying stuff like, we thank you for your service. We don't thank you for your service. It's like,
thank you for destroying our schools, our children.
Fauci lied. And they're coming up with, and then they tried to cover up the lies or sending fake email addresses and things like that.
I have to say, I watched some of it, not a lot of it, but some of it. And Fauci's good. Fauci is very, he's the same age as or a year older than Joe Biden, but he's still got all his faculties. He just lied.
Exactly. Yes. He was doing the mind meld stuff. The big hope, because I'm sorry, when the chair of the committee is starting out by thanking Fauci, I'm not particularly optimistic that they're going to do very much to him. Maybe they'll give him a medal at the end or something like that, but a smaller medal than he would. That's just disgusting. And thank God for people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, because he does belong in prison, right? When you think of the rules they made, the people who died alone in nursing homes, look at the people who are dying now and have all these medical issues because of the vaccine that they're still trying to push on us, right? It's just outrageous. And I think the good news is, as lawsuits are being filed, I don't trust Congress, but some of the defense or the plaintiff's attorneys.
Well, you can trust the courts, now.
Well, exactly. Well, you can trust plaintiff's attorneys who want a big payout to get to the bottom of things. From Thomas or Dr. Fauci, exactly. Sandra was like, yep, she was on target. The Klingon mind meld. And I'm from Leo. Think Marjorie Taylor Greene is a partial nut job, but she is our partial nut job. Exactly.
We've got a lot of special people, special women in Congress.
That's right. And speaking of the whole ivermectin thing, Chuck, you heard this soundbite. The mainstream media, just like the Russia hoax, you got MSNBC still pushing the Russia hoax, right? Even though it's been completely disproven. The mainstream media is still clinging to the whole COVID thing, even though Chris Cuomo now talks about how great ivermectin is, right? But he still denies that he ever.
Well, what I love today, it used to be there was some shame. Now there's not. It's like, you got it on tape. Prove it. Oh, you proved it now. Totally misleading.
This exchange. So Chris Cuomo was on, I'm not sure whose show it was, but he was on some show and they started talking about ivermectin. So if we could please, Thomas, please play the Cuomo soundbite.
There was so much talk that they don't want you to take ivermectin. Ivermectin is the way to go. Take it. Joe Rogan got better from ivermectin. And by the way, I don't like what people did to Joe Rogan about ivermectin. I don't
you
like
You did it.
No, no. No.
Okay. Yes, you did.
Find the clips.
Dude, find the clips. You shamed Joe Rogan.
Find the
you
clips.
You said he's taking horse dewormer. You and Don Lemon were chuckling at each other about it. I'll go find
First
the clips.
You just saw the clips. I'm not chuckling. I'm listening to Don.
But no, no, no. Here's the clip I'm talking about wasn't on there. And it's absolutely there. Here, do we have it? Hold on. Let's play the clip.
Getting injecting drugs for animals and horse.
And people telling them to. What person, you know, you talk about like, you know, cancel culture and who to shame. Ivermectin, a dewormer, really?
They are shaming themselves.
That's no, what it is.
They're shaming themselves.
So you're taking a dewormer right now.
This is
the you dewormer. Can't apologize for that. This, you weren't being clear that it was this, right. And you know that, dude. You're being so dishonest right now.
I'm not being dishonest.
You were talking about ivermectin, the drug. You were not talking about this version of ivermectin. Come on.
But I mean, what is astonishing to me about that is, number one, Chris Cuomo, I mean, it wasn't like it was a secret surveillance tape that he would have had no idea, right?
Well, but you don't remember anything you said.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, he was on CNN for a while denying all of that stuff and shaming and trying to cancel people, right? And he was tweeting it, all of that stuff. He was doing a show from his home, remember? All of that nonsense. So he has no problem going up there and lying about it now. And then when they play the actual clip of him lying.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a that ivermectin. I was talking about the one they give to animals.
There's okay. There's not even an acknowledgement that you caught me, right? There's just this like.
I'm not lying.
No, I'm not lying. I didn't say that. You know, it just said that. It's like, let's see, from James. Back to Marjorie Taylor Greene. She would work well as a VP, taking a lot of heat away from President Trump. She would drive the media nuts. That's true. And then Sandra, they spanked him, Cruz Cuomo, wahoo. Like Charlene, they find the clip, then they deny it, LOL. And from Dr. Donna, ivermectin was used on humans for conditions long before the dewormer. And then Charlene, who was that interviewer, feet to the fire. I know, I wrote it down and then I lost
my
notes.
I love what it said. Dude. You did it.
Yeah.
I'm not. Oh, I don't like that. What they did to Rogan. That was you did it. No, me.
I mean,
oh man.
Right, but that's what the media is now, right? They don't care, and that's why. I mean, the Washington Post today. I was reading major shakeup. The person who's been in charge is they've demoted, and they're going to have three prongs of the newsroom. One kind of traditional news. One it wasn't clear about, and the other one too that was kind of also unclear, maybe streaming or something like that, right?
Oh, good.
And it's like nowhere is there a discussion about journalism. It's and you know, I mean, it's all about revenue. And at least maybe, I mean, because that's Jeff Bezos, right? At least maybe then they'll knock off pretending that they care about journalism. They're like, look, we just are clickbait now, right? And so if we think that
democracy dies in darkness,
no,
that's their foot. That's their.
They're going to have to change it. They're going to have to change it to clickbait our us, right? But at least they're not as harmful, right? I mean, although the thing is nobody's – the reason they're in this financial stress is for a number of reasons nobody's watching them. One, the business model doesn't work anymore. Two, nobody believes them anymore. And even the people who read them know it's not true, right? I mean,
well, if you read, there was a woman who was an associate of Barry Weiss of New York Times. Even the progressive liberal reporters don't believe what they're saying.
Well, no. I mean, how could Chris Cuomo, I mean, he's fine with sitting there saying, no, I never said that. And then they play it and he's like, yeah, I never said that. It's like.
It's a whole different dewormer thing. Right?
It's a whole, I mean, the level of, and then to think that we should turn to him on his new program, wherever it is, and listen to him about anything,
oh, wow.
Right? You know, it's like, and he won't mention that either. So, you know, I think the Trump trial, like I was saying earlier, ABC News had a poll where he was up slightly. I mean, it didn't make any difference. I saw.
Oh, they have a good George Stephanopoulos quote. Maybe we'll put that on our next show where he's just saying, come on, everybody. This is a time where we show how honest and we believe in democracy.
Except for that whole Hunter Biden thing. They seated a jury, by the way, in the Hunter Biden trial today and opening arguments tomorrow. I think that Biden is Hunter's sort of like the sacrificial lamb. It's like, okay, we'll give him Hunter, right? We got Trump, you know, so we'll give him Hunter to show that the courts do work. I mean, I think Hunter
don't, and the charge is so ridiculous. It's been found unconstitutional in other circuits where they say they can't say, hey, you apply for gun, you're using any kind of drugs, you drink too much, or you know, you're gay, or you know, I mean, it's all bullshit.
Well, but I mean, they'll convict him, then they'll say the courts work, and then of course, Joe will pardon him, right?
Pardon him from what? They won't sentence him to anything.
Well, he'll pardon him from everything,
yeah,
right? So I mean, that's just the thing. I mean, that's how corrupt it is. But there is also something else I wanted to talk about. This is interesting, and that is Donald Trump is just, as the media starts to fall apart, right? And as they have such a complete, like Chris Cuomo there, somehow not even recognizing that he should at least shut up. You know what I mean? It's like, but he's just going to sit there. They play the clip. So they play the clip, right? And then he's still.
Slow him down. That's what I like about
him. No, it didn't slow him. But there's so, the lack of any kind of awareness of how they're being perceived.
They don't care.
Right? No, they don't care. But I also think they're not aware. Because he's
He's being a lying sack of shit. But like when he came up from the basement up those stairs, like, oh, okay, he'd been out of the thing for weeks. And they're like, oh boy, I'm finally out here.
And then he got into a fight with the guy. Remember, hit some guy in his bicycle. But Donald Trump, though, is a master at the media. And I think he's smart for not coming back on Twitter or X, because that would compete against True Social, which is his thing and is making money. But he did, after the trial, go on TikTok, right?
Yay.
And in less than 24 hours, this is the last count, he had 4 million followers, right? Donald Trump had 4 million followers on TikTok. Joe Biden, who has been on TikTok since like January, has 336,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just look at that, right? That's his campaign staff, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
hey, you on my thing.
And so then what does the media do? They keep playing that up. Look at this and say, well, Trump was opposed to TikTok.
Yeah.
It's like,
unlike Joe.
I'd be like, yeah, I was opposed to TikTok too, till I realized that it wasn't going anywhere. And it's probably the biggest, maybe Twitter, but you know, one of the biggest social media things out there, right? And not only that, but Trump knows how to do it. I mean, they, you know, he's just the master communicator. So I think that as the corporate media and the legacy media continues to trash, I mean, everything you read, it's not working, right? The ratings go down, down, down every time it's a record. You know, the new good rating is the least down rating, right? And that was years ago when I was at the TV station. But I think Trump is doing a very good job playing it. And now, again, they've turned him into an outlaw. I mean, everybody likes outlaws, right? Yeah. And when you're an outlaw, it's okay if you do outlaw kind of things, right?
Like you went to bed with a porn star. You're an outlaw.
Yeah. It's only bad if you're like Joe Biden. You know? And like I said, the MMA guy was like, he gets models. He does this. It's like Trump's my idol, he was saying, you know, and now he's an outlaw. So they completely lost it on that. The only, as we talk about on this show, the concern is, you know, the people who are going to be counting the ballots.
Yeah, right.
But what do you think? I'm becoming more optimistic about that. Well, what do you think?
I have no idea. I know they will do anything, so.
Let's see. This is from Leo. WAPO should change their motto to, our owner has a penis-shaped spacecraft. There you go. A video of Trump lifting weights in prison would raise $500 million and get all the convict votes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. Remember the Old West with the jailbreaks. Yeah.
Well, we could not just read that the governor just signed the law. You can vote from prison. So Donald sent out here for every reason. You know, they're going for a full vote at the prison. So
there we go. Hey, and Jacob, we've got a few minutes here. Jacob, raise your hand. Jacob, go ahead. What do you have to say?
Hi. What happened in Arizona with the 74,000 ballots that they decided that there's something wrong with them? There was an article yesterday. There was 74,000 that they did, in fact, put.
There was, and I think they found something wrong with ballots. And is it in Pennsylvania? You know, I don't know what to say about that, because, you know, they keep finding it and no one seems to care. Right. I mean, what you need is, and so I think to me, it's like, it's discouraging, because we find it and it's like, no one, we're not shocked by it, right? But then nobody seems to do anything about it. So I don't know. What do you make of it?
I don't know. They said that they didn't have signatures on it. And they have the handful, they have all of the 74,000 in their hand. So just run them back out and subtract the vote.
Yeah. Well, I think what I hope they do is take the information they're getting about this, figure out how
give,
it was done.
Give it to Zuckerberg people and have them do a better job this time.
Really. And see what we can do to figure out how to stop it, because that is a big concern, right? That not only do they have them in its, I know the Trump people say, well, we're going to have lawyers there. And you're like, the lawyers are only effective.
You're going to go before Chuck Marchand.
And see.
Hey, they're cheating. Yeah, good.
But I think, though, Jacob, it is at the very least good to get the information out, right? Because you're right. I mean, it's not just Arizona. I keep reading in different states, too. Wisconsin, I think, Pennsylvania, they keep finding issues as well.
Two quick things is, one, if anybody asks you if the courts are rigged, well, you go back to Alvin Bragg's first campaign thing, and what he said over and over again, that the courts are rigged.
Yes.
And the second thing, if somebody is to ask you, are you happy with the Trump decision? He said, you should ask them back, are you happy with the O.J. Simpson decision?
All right. Hey, Jacob.
Were you happy with the O.J. decision?
Hey, listen, we're starting to lose you. We're starting to lose you, Jacob, so we're going to let you go. But all right, but thank you.
How about you, Julie? Were you pleased with the O.J. verdict?
I was actually in California, in L.A., and ended up having to cover that a little bit.
Wow.
So I was pleased because there were not riots, but that was all. Hey, listen, that's going to wrap it up for us today.
On a not guilty verdict, you didn't have any problems.
Right. So thank you to Tonton Crater. Thanks to all the great comments today.
Wonderful.
That's right. We will see you all on Wednesday.
Take care.